Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Dalvin!
I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, James!
James!
Filling in for a booth man once again. Yeah. So, we missed you guys over Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we did.
What were you guys all thankful for?
I was thankful for friends like you guys.
Aww.
I assume you guys did the same thing, right?
Yeah.
No, I definitely wasn't thankful for that. I was thankful for that it's like 3 more days until the Punisher movie. Come on!
Wow.
Who's coming with me?
Ooh,
midnight showing on Thursday, yeah!
That'll be a nice, cool. You'll be able to really stretch your legs out.
Actually, to be totally fair, I read a really good review of it today.
Really?
Yes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
On Pete's notebook.
Pete's dream diary.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Don't read that.
Anyway, I'm thankful that we're doing this show again and that we have a great guest for you guys.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen from 30 Rock, Scott Azar!
Yeah!
Big changes in the new season.
Yes, Scott, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
This is embarrassing.
things have gotten worse. So let's talk about 30 Rock this season. What's different? What's bigger? What's better?
Bigger are the guest stars.
Yeah.
As some of you may have seen, although statistically maybe 3 of you have seen.
Statistics.
it's becoming a better show. Because the writers are really honing their craft now. The writers are fantastic, and the ratings are up a little bit actually. There's been a kind of a viral campaign going on with the DVDs. People handing on to their friends, and I get a lot of people saying, "I spent the weekend watching season one," you know, that kind of thing. And so people are caught up now, and now they're starting to watch in numbers. And also, Tina playing Sarah Palin didn't hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think there's certain expectations from new viewers coming to the show because of that imitation, or does it not make a difference?
I don't think they expect to tune in to see her doing sketch material, no.
Yeah.
I hope not, anyway, because they're going to be really disappointed.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I know better, and I still do.
And you're disappointed.
Well, yeah. I just wonder where the weekend update portion of the show is gone.
that's a different show.
Oh, okay.
And how's your comic reading been going? Anything that's been?
I'm getting better at it. it's slowed down this week because I was out of town for Thanksgiving, so I haven't read anything we're going to talk about today. But I'm happy to talk about it.
All right.
So you want to get right into it?
Yeah.
With the first section, which we like to call the stack. Love it. All right, first thing we're going to talk about is Batman 681 tying up the arm.
That was
Batman
681. That was it.
Did everybody read this?
Yes.
For God's sake, I'm so sorry.
Is there a spoiler warning I need to give out here?
Not this show. We don't do that.
Okay.
Bring a lighter and burn it.
I just read this about an hour ago for the first time. And I don't know if I've read every issue of this arc. I didn't think I'd need to with Grant Morrison.
He really puts it all in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything is going to be as confusing if you miss everything. if you read every word, you still are going to get about the same. But I think it all is kind of summed up, the entire arc, by kind of fitfully, by Bruce Wayne, young Bruce Wayne, in the very last panel. If you remember what his last line is there.
What?
Nice. Bruce Wayne, young Bruce Wayne, played by Alex Dalvin.
Yeah,
I hope so. I like 3/4 of this issue, actually. I felt like he really did. We've been talking for a while about, I hope all of this comes together. I hope it brings it together in some sort of satisfying conclusion, which it totally did not.
Nope.
But the first 3/4 are fun. Haha, Batman knew everything the entire time. And then the last quarter makes no sense.
Well, I can't follow the dialogue. The bad guy, he's saying, I'm your father. Then in the next balloon, he's saying, all right, I'm not your father.
Right, yeah.
And he's saying, I'm someone else. And then he's, I still don't know who the guy is.
Right.
People say it's the devil, like it's Satan himself.
So I'm not supposed to know who it is.
No.
I don't know.
I think it's one of those things, Grant Morrison writes these things now. I mean, he's doing the same thing with Final Crisis, where he's like, well, of course you know what it is. Absolutely, everybody knows what it is, but nobody knows what it is.
Is that art?
Interesting.
Not in this case.
Well, and there are cool parts when Batman is talking to the guy he shares a cup of tea with, and then another guy dies. And he's like, what if I had a personality hidden in my brain? Where if something bad happened, it came out and acted crazy. And the guy's like, good idea. And then Batman's like, and then it's like, what? That's it? I don't know what that means. That's a cool idea, but where does that happen?
But that happened before in the series, didn't it? When he became
well, he was crazy for most of the series, and the whole thing was like, has Batman finally gone crazy? And in this, it's like, nope. Yeah. And then it goes to the end, and then you're like, well, now he's dead.
So. Yeah, so his plan was to trick everybody into thinking he'd gone crazy so that he could drive them crazy, I think.
Oh, man.
And, like, Joker, and the Joker knew the plan the whole time?
Right, because he's crazy. So he knows when something's really crazy or not.
This is like a murder mystery.
Like with no murder and no mystery.
I'm confused about this conversation.
I just don't understand. Where do you get off calling it Batman RIP when there's no death at all?
Well,
nobody
it did. He died in an exploding helicopter off panel.
No, but he didn't, though, because he's the one writing the journal. Like,
but his cowl and cape survived, and Robin is holding it at the end, so...
Yeah.
Who knows?
He's holding it way where he's like, maybe I'll put this on. We'll fight crime in the future.
We were talking about this a little bit earlier, and we feel like one of the biggest problems with this is how DC labeled it. That they built it up as this gigantic thing that's going to overarch and change Batman forever. When we all know when Batman dies off panel in a plane crash, he's not actually dead.
Yeah.
But is it going to be a Captain America thing, or he's gone for a year or two or five?
Probably. And there you go.
What a buzzkill! We just skipped this.
Would you say pick it up?
No.
The next arc is going to be good.
Well, wait. Let me ask
you. Do
you
know
this?
That?
Yeah. Grant Morrison. Do you pick up? Do you ignore issues and pick up the graphic novel? So
no,
you read
just
it all at once.
You pick up a newspaper and open it to random pages and point at words.
Perfect.
Cool. I think that
in the trade, I'll probably read better. Like,
no
way.
No way.
No.
Why? It's completely crazy. You just said it. You're pointing at words.
Right.
Why would a trade make that any better?
Because if you take all the words from the newspaper and tape them down to a sheet of paper and then read them in a row...
You're a serial killer.
You're a serial killer. I was getting there! Give me a second!
Is that related to what he's just saying, or is he just a serial killer?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Have you ever seen Dexter?
All right, let's move on and talk about the Umbrella Academy, God Save the President, number one. We love the last series. What did you guys think about this first issue?
It's great continuing on. It's very fun. The art's fantastic. I like this series.
Yes, I agree with all that. I feel like it's doing its job as a number one, like setting things up a little bit. But I was so excited about the first series then. When it was gone, I was missing it, and then I was so excited when it was back out that I was a little let down by the amount of what actually happened. It's still kind of like, they give you little bits and pieces, like the sister is still completely white and kind of thinks she's a violin, and like drooling in a chair, and that's like, what? I'm not sure. And then like, oh, there's a lot about a monkey in a suit. It's just, it's kind of all over the place, and I want it to be, you know, because I didn't think that the last series was as, like, all over the place. I felt like it was a little bit more like this and really
I
great.
Disagree with you. I think, if anything, this actually calmed down a bit, because now that you've established there's a guy in a giant monkey suit, all he's doing this issue is eating cookies.
Right. Yeah. What?
Yeah, that's normal stuff.
I don't know.
Seriously, it's... I like this a lot. I mean, the art is great. The writing is really great. I do feel like one of the things we talked about with the first series was it felt like Morrison light, almost. Like, it felt like somebody impersonating Morrison, but then by the end, breaking out and forming his own voice. And I really feel like this continues it really nicely.
Yeah, but it makes enough sense where you can read it and be like, ah. Yeah.
Yes. Would you say pick it up?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely do. I disagree a little bit with the Morrison light, just because I felt like I didn't think the last series was as crazy as this is setting up to be. This one I feel like is like, if you thought the last one was crazy, we're going to crazy town real quick with this one. We're going to spend 8 panels with a guy eating cookies.
I like cookies. Did you read the last series?
No.
Cool.
But from what I know of this one, I'll say this.
All right, let's move on. Talk about X-Force number 9. Pete, you surprisingly have not liked this series because they haven't been chopping up enough people. What do you think about this issue?
It's fantastic. Now, the last, to be correct, the last two series, the last two comics have been chock full of action. But so finally, the comic is coming around, and it should have been about this the whole time.
Like murdering clones.
Yeah, well, just a lot of action and, you know, not talky-talky. Why are we a team? Why are we here? No, you should just be killing people.
Wow.
And he's the serial killer?
Yeah. He's a wannabe. He's going to get there. So
yeah.
You got to teach him. This is a great book. This is really, really awesome and fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's shout-outs to so much of X-Men history in here.
Well, it's like Old Man Logan, the series by Mark Miller, that's where it's a bunch of like, hey, look at all these references we're making. Here's the Hulk, and here's Spider-Man's car.
They're very enjoyable.
They're stupid. And then this, they're making reference to X-Men history, but using it for a reason, and not just some sort of nostalgia, fun time show. And here, it's like there are story points surrounding these ideas.
It's all based on the characters.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's not fun to be like, hey, remember Sit and Spin? Yeah, that was great. You have to be like, hey, I've invented this new...
You have to be sitting and spinning.
Oh, okay.
But you think it's fun to sit around and say like, hey, remember Sit and Spin?
Sometimes. Just be like, hey, remember Sit and Spin?
That's a hell
of
a
home
life.
Okay. Yeah. That's not actually commenting on anything. That's like, I was like, hey, you remember Super Mario Brothers 2? I'm done. That's it. I got nothing else.
I do remember that, man.
Yeah, cool. Oh, maybe that is good,
actually. Yeah. I was just told.
This series is excellent and so much better than it should be. For a bunch of choppy choppy wolf.
Were you always the princess in Super Mario 2?
Oh.
Yes. Did it burn? Did it slam? The princess could float.
She could float for a long time.
Especially in the whale level. In the whale level.
You had Toad?
Toad was
the best.
Why?
Because he was the strongest.
Yeah, you
could
lift up
the
comic.
Brad is
the
drill.
Hey, I've read a couple of Super Mario Brothers 2 comics. All right, let's move on and talk about Runaways, number 4. We love the series Runaways. I don't particularly like this.
Nope.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. No, I don't like this. I like Terry Moore, I like Humberto Ramos, but there's something about this comic that just is not working for me at all.
Well, they keep saying the same things over and over again in this issue. What's her name? Casts a spell that says, scatter to these aliens, and so then they vanish. And then in this issue, they realize that the spell caused the team to scatter mentally and emotionally. And then, as if that's kind of a tough concept to grasp, they keep saying, no, don't you get it? Like, we scattered as a team. And everyone's like, I don't know about that. And they're like, no, listen. Like, we scattered, like, our minds. And then they're like, well, I don't know if that's really true. And like, no! And then the rocket ship shows up. And that's like the whole issue. And they're like, well, I get it. I believe him. I believe the guy telling him. He's a robot.
What do you think about this, Pete?
Well, I'm not as going to be state everything that happened in the comic like you did so well, but I feel that there are sometimes when you change writers or change artists and there's a huge drop off. And when Whedon was writing it, I was really on board. I was really I feel like they took a young team and did a great job of like writing it and really getting me on board. And then as soon as the switch happened, I don't care about any of these people anymore. It's just the writing's gone in a direction that's like, these are a bunch of annoying kids to me now. And it drives me nuts that, like, I know what's happening, but they don't, and I'm, like,
maybe,
yelling at the page.
Maybe you've grown up a little bit.
Don't change. Don't say that.
And you got married, maybe you look at kids like, I don't want kids. Maybe you're like, I don't want kids over and over again.
Don't get inside my head.
I hope to never be that.
Maybe you scatter.
Think about it.
No, I don't know if that's true.
Wait, maybe we scatter.
I don't know what that means.
Maybe.
Would you say pick it up?
No.
I like it well enough. I think it's a good read still.
Okay. Let's move on and talk about Wolverine Origins number 30, concluding the original Sin arc, where Wolverine is hooked up with his son, Dakin, or Dakin, or...
Yeah.
Bacon or whatever it is.
It's definitely not bacon.
Yeah, but he's like Wolverine, but he's more extreme.
Very, and he has a claw that comes out of his foot, as we...
No, X-23. He has one that comes out of his wrist.
X-23 is the tiny female clone of Wolverine.
Yeah.
Dakin is his son, who has a claw that comes out of his wrist. Bacon.
Cool.
Bacon.
So when they introduce Wolverine's cousin, the claw comes out of...
The forehead.
His nose downwards.
People will be like a Fu Manchu action.
Yeah. Hard to kill someone with
that. It'll be curly claws coming out.
Old timey, just...
You laugh, but they'll get there someday.
Pete, what did you think about
it? It's awesome. It's great. It's absolutely fantastic. Make fun of it all you want. But
they're phoning it. Okay. Be honest, they're phoning
it. It's nice throwback to Wolverine's origin, but also trying to make the ridiculous "you have a son" kind of a real part of the X-Men universe by having it well written and kind of emotional. I think it's like his son doesn't know what's going on, he doesn't know who to believe, and I feel like they're doing a decent job with it.
I think it's weird. In this, they go into the memories of Wolverine and his son, and they match up. And in it, Professor Xavier's in it, too, and he's like, he goes up to Wolverine's son, he's like, "You were the only one there when your mother died. You were in her womb. It's your memory we need to find." It's like, what? No one has a memory when they're a baby.
He didn't
like
say
that. Yes, he did.
Yeah, he does say that.
Yeah, and then Wolverine's like, "Well, I guess you're right."
Yeah, and then they go into his memories, and it's just like this wet.
Yeah, it's just moist.
That's what she wants. It's moist.
No, that is ridiculous.
What else is he going to remember?
They go on a quest to eradicate moistures. Good luck. Good luck in Seattle. What also is weird is the Winter Soldier shows up, Bucky, and he's the one that killed Wolverine's son's mom. And you're like, what is this? How are they going to make sense of this? If the Winter Soldier is just the guy they throw around, like, make him kill someone. He had a fucked up past.
Yeah. Well, the other thing also that they introduced in this issue is the reason for the longest time Wolverine couldn't remember anything is because Professor X wiped his mind.
Yeah, he got an ex-wife. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah,
and then he forgives him at the end.
Yeah, he's like, "Yeah, that's all right."
This doesn't make any sense.
When did he wipe his mind?
When Wolverine first joined the X-Men, when he was recruited, he was actually a double agent sent there to kill Professor Xavier by Romulus, the wolf god that created Wolverine and Sabretooth.
Yeah. From the divergent dog population, that right. Sabretooth, Wolverine, and other wolf-like animals, humans.
Yeah, yeah.
Introduced by comic genius Jeff Loeb.
Is that what we're calling him? He pays us to call
him. Every time he gives us a shot.
So obviously what you guys are saying is pick up the series. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
So when Wolverine fought the Hulk in the first appearance, he knew who he was.
Right, he knew who he was, and he was doing that to get the attention of Professor Xavier so that he could go kill him, but Professor Xavier found out and wiped his mind.
Comic genius.
It's
great.
And Wolverine came out of, he like jumped out of a comic book writer's mind, slid down the pencil onto the page. Eventually that's where they're going to get to, where you really see it all happen.
Yeah, and he went like, "Whee!"
Yeah. Kind of a weird order.
when you spell it out like that, it really doesn't sound like that good of an arc.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on and talk about Wonder Woman number 26, kicking off the Rise of the Olympian storyline with the hit new villain Genocide.
No home.
That's what he says. Yeah.
Over and over, this new character, this new extreme character, Genocide, all he says is, no home.
But you know he's extreme because he's like his outfit's like lime green. And instead of eyes, he has a visor over his eyes that has spikes on it.
Yeah,
and he's
this cool haircut. It's like,
yeah, he's extreme in that way. It's he could totally be a related to Wolverine.
That's a crazy statement.
What did you think about this? There was a lot of death.
Well, I just thought it was weird how they, I guess it was the new badass guy shit all over Wonder Woman's home, where they had that panel where they're like, I can't go in there. Someone defiled the throne.
The Olympian gods in the DC universe had been captured by Darkseid and the residents of Apocalypse, who pretended to be. Comics are so stupid.
There's so much information in this. You said so much information.
Did you just realize that now? Just now?
I gotta go.
I'm thinking back to all we said about this.
You
guys do
not know. This is stupid. I'm gonna go play sports.
He's fine.
Too much for him.
Wow, that makes sense. We've all been waiting for this day first.
No!
No! How did your sports career go? Is your sports career over?
We lost.
Ultimate frisbee, all right?
Oh, that's pretty good. This is really stupid. Basically, to get to the point, so the evil gods took over Apocalypse and took the time to spray paint graffiti everywhere that said Darkseid was here.
Yeah.
All over
Olympus. And apparently they peed all over the throne room, which is why.
Not peed. It sounded like he took a shit.
Good point. That's probably partially.
You don't get that upset over urine. I mean,
Whoa! So I come to your house, I piss on your bed. You're like, cool with it.
No. I punch you in the face. If you shit on my bed, that's when we, you know, I mean, that's a big difference. I mean, the kid was puking. He was like, oh, I can't. You don't get that upset over urine.
You don't get that upset. Someone pees on me.
Wait, this is a universal? Am I the only one?
No.
I mean, I'm going to get upset over urine.
Just I love urine.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex.
Bro, urine. Man, we are not going camping.
This is unfortunate because I really like Gail Simone and I really want Wonder Woman to work, but this is a really stupid way to go for it. One thing that they don't mention in here is this new extreme character, Genocide, is Wonder Woman was created out of mud, so this guy was created out of mud from...
Evil mud.
Basically. Yeah, from like concentration camps.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, seriously. Concentration camps and...
comics are stupid.
Dark Emperor and a couple of other places.
They say that when bad things happen, the dirt does get a little evil. If it's on top of it.
But the dirt there would just be the, like, have the ashes of victims in it, wouldn't it? This guy should be, like, Captain Victim.
That's
he should be a really sad one.
I nominate you for writer of Wonder Woman. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, you should be no homo. You're like, don't hit me again.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This has turned ugly.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Would you say pick this up?
Not a great issue.
Yes.
It's
cool.
Ed McMahon over there.
Let's go on then talk about Hack Slash number 17. This is one of our favorite series.
Yeah.
This was actually released outside of the Diamond catalog. There was a big problem.
You're going to have to go play sports again.
There was a big problem because the rights to the character of the Reanimator, the H.P. Lovecraft character, are owned by a different comic publisher than here. They were going to sue them and shut down the comic, so instead they released it with the title on the front that says Herbert West, the guy who likes to reanimate stuff.
Yeah.
And outside nice. The Diamond catalog. What do you think of it, Pete?
Well, yeah, it's just, first off, it's a little ridiculous that already the series had started and they were like in the middle of it and then they said, oh, you can't do that. I thought that was kind of ridiculous. And then they had to go around the Diamond list because for some reason, it's just bullshit that if you're not on the Diamond list, you can't sell comics, and it sucks
you
that
can't
you're
distribute them.
Yeah, you know, all the sales go down because of some shit like that.
Well, but it's also annoying, like the Reanimator. Like, who cares? The people that own the Reanimator are like, finally, a day in the sun.
Yeah, and then they're like, no.
And then they just come up looking like assholes.
Yeah, totally. The thing that especially sucks about this is probably the most important arc in the entire series.
Yeah.
The thing that I really respect about what went on here is you take a character like the Reanimator, and it could just be a cheesy crossover reference type thing, but he brings him in and makes it about Cassie Hack, the main character's parents, and he's reanimating her mother who died before the series even started. So it becomes really important and really emotional, and it really works really well, and it's unfortunate that the majority of the comic reading populace is not going to get to see it.
Yeah. I know, the only reason we got to get this is because it was at Midtown Comics.
Right.
We picked it up.
which is a great store that everybody should go to.
Unrelated, they also sponsored the show.
Interesting. So pick this up if you can find it, right?
Yeah, well, they have it in Midtown. But yeah, it's a good read. This series is really good. He moves very fast in his writing with the character. A lot of things happen every issue. It's a good series.
Yeah. Little advance preview before I forget. The issue that is coming out tomorrow is even better than this. It will be on the stands. It's excellent. Pick it up. Nice. Last thing we're going to talk about is Mouse Guard Winter 1152, number 4 or 5, something like that. Four.
Yeah,
there we go. So this is cute, you guys.
It's as cute as about mice. This Pete is your favorite book.
Yeah, why do you downplay it? Just because it's about cute
They're little so mice. Tiny. In the book, they're in the snow, and there's ice, and their little fur here, and it's like, oh, they're so struggling, and they have all these swords.
And they sing songs?
They do, the whole thing's a song, it's like a shanty. And then you're like, what, if a mouse is tough, then what's a bad guy? And it's an owl. Yeah.
And not only that, but they pronounce all of their R's as W's. Like, I'm so tiled.
Yeah. It's a very dark.
Screw you guys. It's a story about...
How did this book get into your cold black heart? I had a little cold in there.
Well, obviously because they have swords and they kill things like owls and other...
Bats.
Bats, yeah. There's a fun little... I want to say fun little because it makes...
It's so fun and little.
There's a touching moment where he finds the skeleton of a long-lost pal. And
to clarify.
This is actually tear-stained.
Yeah. Pete's tears are red like blood. What were you going to say?
I don't know.
Well, Bob, it is... About when he found his friend's bones, is that what you're going to say?
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of, it's a really sad moment, but then I look at it, I'm like, it's a mouse holding mouse bones, and for some reason the mouse bones don't have a lower jaw, so it's like this hanging, it looks like a frying pan overturned with eye holes in it. I was like, it's kind of sad, but also it's kind of silly looking, because it's a little half-bone face.
To be totally fair, I've been really not down on the series, but haven't seen what you guys saw in it necessarily.
Yeah, I like it.
I went back and read the first series, what was that, Fall?
Yep.
As one volume, and it works so much better as a complete volume.
Yeah,
it reads so much better.
You're
that
such
way.
A douchebag. why is it just because it's together it reads better?
Because it reads better.
Because, like, this issue, the last issue came out, like, over a month ago. And you pick this up, and you're like, oh, this is about mice. The gray one's name is what? And then the brown one is in the woods. It's like, what? They don't have a distinguishing of features to really tell the difference.
Yeah.
And you read it all together, then you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The gray one's in love with the red one.
I completely disagree. I like the single issues because you don't have to... Like reinvested, it's already you like it, so you pick it up and you're like, oh yes, okay, great. Here we are, here we go, perfect. I don't need to sit down and read the whole thing, even though it's I can understand that being enjoyable, but I just feel that like a great comic stands out on its own. If you're going to make a good comic, you should make a good comic.
Yeah,
not right.
I totally agree with you. This does not stand out on its own.
You're an asshole.
And that's it for the stats. All right. My favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring out James.
James! He was such authority. Hey. Sit down, James. This is unprecedented.
I mean, don't. All right, so I got some questions.
All right.
Cool. Yeah. Woo. Play it casual. I'll play it cool.
Can we get you anything from
yeah.
the
party?
You know what?
Oh, wow.
What's the word on the Spirit movie? Is it good or that bad?
That bad.
Well, we haven't actually seen it.
No, but it's Sin City 2 from all the previews. I enjoyed Will Eisner's The Spirit, and I'm not seeing any similarities, so it's like, why do I want to
Well, you remember the scene where in Will Eisner's version of The Spirit, where Spirit and the octopus... had a big fight, and the octopus hits him with a toilet, and he's like, I always love potty humor.
Yeah, that's a great joke.
Yes, that's in the movie, by the way.
Yeah, that's an actual movie.
That's an actual scene in the movie, is they're having a fight in a shit pit, and he hits him with the toilet that he pulls out of nowhere, like a cartoon.
Yeah, I think it's going to be bad, and because they're trying to play like a real goofy, like action movie. In the previews, his tie's dancing around on his out of his shirt, and it's all this things that I think they thought were funny that are going to end up really falling flat. In the whole movie.
To be honest, I've been thinking about this a lot because they've been pushing, they've been putting so much marketing muscle behind it.
Yeah.
I honestly think the Spirit movie is going to set comic book movies and comic books back like 5 years.
I don't think it'll be popular enough for that.
You don't think so?
I don't think enough people see it to set anything back.
Yeah.
I think it'll set itself back and stay back.
But you don't think people are going to see the advertisements, I think, and see like, oh, this is goofy comic book crap.
And also, I think they'll be like, oh, Sin City, remember how cool that movie was? I should go see this one.
Yeah. I think even more so, though, it's the public perception of, you know, there's still all these articles whenever somebody's like, comic books are hot, I'm going to write into something for my local paper. And they always do, Biff, Bam, Pow, comic books are hot. And that's always their title across the board. And we know that's because it's not what comic books are actually like. And slowly the public perception, I think, has been changing as comic book movies have become the mainstream and they've been taken more seriously with things like Dark Knight and Iron Man this summer. And the Spirit goes 100% back into Goof Town.
Goof Town.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't think the Spirit will destroy Iron Man 2's take. Do you?
No, that's true.
I think the Punisher might.
Oh!
Yeah!
Doesn't make any sense.
You just vocally shot Pete in the face.
wait, no, but the Punisher, yeah. The Punisher movie is setting out, obviously I haven't seen it, to do exactly what it's going to be, over-the-top Punisher action. The Spirit is taking something that was great and then raping it in a horrible movie form.
Wow. See, he's wound up now. Look what you did.
I feel like the comic book was one thing and had a separate tone, and yes, the shading and the stuff was one, but it's just taking it and putting it in a direction that it wasn't meant to be. Like, Sin City had a grit. I don't feel that Will Eisner's Spirit was that dark and that, like, light. It had its moments, and I feel like that's not coming across in anything I'm seeing right now.
And the sad thing is, it'll turn people off from the Will Eisner comics. Because most people haven't read that, and they're so good that people will be like, oh.
Well, we're also talking about something we haven't seen.
That's true.
True. We're kind of assholes, by the way. All the time.
Yeah. Cool. If you have stuff, you ask that question, raise your hand. Pete's going to give you a gift, and let's get the next question.
What superhero would be most better off without their secret identity?
Ooh. Mouse guard.
Yeah, get those cloaks off those mice.
The red one's actually the brown one.
Yeah, what? I've been duped.
Can we talk briefly about what we thought the ending of RIP was now?
I was hoping that the ending of RIP was that Bruce Wayne gave up being Batman for a while and became Bruce Wayne. I was like, I've been insane for the past few years. I need to get my shit back together. I'm going to pass on the mantle and just be Bruce Wayne for a while. And that's kind of the opposite, where the secret identity takes over.
Just to take a step back, what we thought was going to happen, or at least what we were led to believe was going to happen, was that Batman was going to give up Bruce Wayne entirely.
Yeah.
That he was going to be Batman 24/7 and get rid of his secret identity. And I think that would have been a very smart move. That would have been a nice thing to do.
But they've practically done that already.
I feel like it's a logical thing to do, rather than every new writer who comes on the title, every new writer who writes Batman is like, oh, we got to figure out a way to put Bruce Wayne in there.
Yeah.
We need to, go back to that. And they try it for like one or two issues, and then they just end up having Batman all the time.
Yeah.
So why not just get rid of that idea, get rid of Bruce Wayne entirely, and just have him be Batman? Do the logical thing that everybody's doing anyway.
See, I think it's a much better story if Bruce Wayne is just Bruce Wayne for a while, and he has to like figure out the economy. Maybe.
Really? To get back to the question, I feel like She-Hulk would be an interesting thing, just because She-Hulk, you know who She-Hulk is in real life, and it's not that great. You know what I mean? She's a lawyer, and She-Hulk is still very smart and very, I don't know, I just felt like it would.
Well, she doesn't have a secret identity.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
So she should get rid of it?
Oh, man, he's on you. He's after you now.
I thought the question was like,
secret identities that aren't really secret identities. That's why I read into it. So I'm wrong, Alex. I'm sorry.
A lot of stuff being worked out here.
Do you know what? Later on, I'll come over and piss on your bed. That's fine. That's fine.
Any answer?
No.
Cool. If you ask that question, raise your hand. If you can bring you something, let's get the next question.
Final Crisis, Secret Invasion. Are these big events really worth it?
Wow. We're really getting into it.
Yeah.
No.
No, that's the same thing of War Hulk.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Or any other thing, event that they've strung out into, you know, a year-long event that spreads out into other titles, it doesn't have an effect. It's all status quo. And didn't World War Hulk destroy most of New York?
Yeah.
But we rebuilt.
Well, I had a damage control series, two issues, where they rebuilt it in 2 days.
Yeah.
They're very good.
I feel like the Skrull invasion might... I mean, they're hinting at the Skrulls aren't going anywhere, so that could be something that kind of sticks around.
Well, the essential problem of comics is that stuff needs to happen, but then stuff needs to go back to not having had happened.
Right.
Like, it has to go back to a very specific status quo, because people are like, oh, Spider-Man is not married. So then as they have to be continually tricking the readers into being like, look at all this stuff, you gotta buy this thing. Someone's gonna die in this issue. And then you're like, oh my god, he's right, I have to buy this. And then you're like, I don't like this, Batman's dead. And then you're like, so it's hard to be a comic book writer, right?
That's the moral, is it's hard to be a comic book writer.
Thank you.
Back
to the issue at hand. That was unrelated, really.
Jeff loves a genius.
Jeff loves a genius. And it doesn't matter if these events matter. You kind of have to read them. If you're invested in these characters and stuff, you can't not read them, because what are you going to do? If you give it up, you're going to be lost for the entirety of the event and then the next 2 or 3 months afterwards.
I do think, you know, Pete's going to yell at me about this, but I think, I've mentioned this before, the way of doing events is, and this is impossible given the way the industry works, but write them, draw them, and then release them as quickly as possible. Like, I think you hit on the big thing that does not work about these events is their big summer event that lasts an entire year.
Yeah,
That's annoying. It's annoying, yes. And it delays other books, and it becomes uninteresting after a while.
Yes.
I think the way of doing it is like, write Secret Invasion, totally fine, but then release it over the course of 8 weeks, and then you're done.
Yes.
And that's it. And then it's
Years ago, you had that big Marvel panel on.
Yeah.
And Bendis was sitting here, and someone mentioned decompression and making, I think, Secret Invasion, like saying it's essentially a 2-issue story and making it an 8-issue story. And Bendis just, with that little curled up lip of his, just went like,
I'm glad I didn't see him do that.
That's
horrifying.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, across the board, it's a business. That's what it comes down to, is it's not... There are people trying to write stories, I think, and for the most part, no writers are really being like, I want to write a crap story. That's it. Maybe there's a very small percentage of it. They all talk like that.
It's hard, yeah. It's hard to be a comic book.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Can we go back? Why am I supposed to be angry?
I was going to say something different, and then I decided not to make you angry.
You'll figure out a reason to be angry.
I was just going by precedent.
Well, Secret Invasion was originally supposed to be 7 issues, and I feel like they were like, wow, people are loving this. Make another one, and then now we're up to 8. Yeah.
They should just keep adding on issues. How many issues
they could have told what they've already told in?
Half.
Yeah, five. I say 5.
Pages?
Yeah, 5 pages. And it was all a dream by Spider-Man.
Yeah.
In bed with Mary Jane.
Would you stop?
There's unfortunately not a lot of story going on in these. And the problem, on the other hand, with Final Crisis is there's almost too much story going on, so much that they've cut out the important parts of the story.
Exactly. None of it's about the main characters.
Yeah.
Well, it's for me, that's why Trinity's been getting a little less interesting it started out so great, and I was really on board, and the writing was fantastic, and then it got away to the main characters, and then I'm just like, it kind of loses.
You're not into the tarot card reading woman that they made up for this arc?
No.
So there's your answer. Raise your hand if you ask the question. Pete's going to bring you in. And that's it. A special gift. And that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah!
And now it is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
First and only thing we're going to talk about today on the Week in Geek is heroes. Well, here's the thing. It was the last episode of this current
ever.
No, unfortunately. But this is the last episode of this particular arc, villains, tying everything that has happened over the course of the season together. What'd you guys think about all this?
Very upsetting.
It's not even upsetting, it's just like, wow, I could have done many other things than watch this. It's getting to the point where I'm like, oh, I can fast forward through the show and get to the commercials. Watch them for a little bit.
It was really upsetting. I watched it on the lobby with Justin, and it was like, there was a point of excitement where it was like, oh man, what's going to happen? And if I really could have stepped out of myself, I would have tapped myself on the shoulder and been like, what are you saying, asshole? This show has sucked from the start of this whole season. Why are you getting excited like you think all of a sudden it's all going to be redeemed?
Well, and the big end of this arc reveal is that Claire is not the guy with the glasses' daughter. But we already knew that, like, seasons ago.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no way this show could be worse. Possibly. I actually have started to wonder, before I watched this episode and then during this episode, if this is the worst television series of all time.
Do you think it was bad? Retrospectively, if you look back at the first season, do you say, oh, now that I see it as a whole, it always was bad?
I personally have always hated this show. Mm. I have thought this was a terrible show since the beginning, and I think the people who are like, the first season, it's not been good since the first season, are fooling themselves, because the first season was terrible, and the only reason people liked the first season is because they were holding out hope that eventually it would be good, and it never got there.
Well, back then it was all like, save the cheerleader, save the earth, and it was like, oh, yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, now it's, find the bike messenger, you'll get the story that will tell you the next thing.
Yeah.
I feel like the reason I really was on board for the first season, I think, is that I was like, yes, a comic book TV show, superheroes, this is great, this is awesome, this is what I'm into, and I was excited for it to be good, and I feel like it had the promise of that, and in the first season, I didn't feel like I was destroyed.
It's like the first season you watched it and you felt like, oh, this is specifically written toward me, because there's a lot of references that I get that most people won't, so this is like my show.
Yeah.
And then it became more famous than the comics it was kind of homaging.
Right.
And so then it had to become its own mythology, and that's when it all fell apart. It wasn't just kind of referencing Ditko.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no there.
Yeah, there's no there there.
Yeah. Wow. And it's all just repeating the same phrases over and over and over again to no point. The characters make no sense internally, consistently, or in the episodes, or anything like that.
And I don't know if they've ever timed a solar eclipse, but it's much shorter than what happened in the last two episodes.
Well, they usually
it lasted like a day.
Right?
Yeah. Usually, you go outside in elementary school and look up through a piece of paper, and
you're
God, recess is almost over. Let's go play in the playground.
This is not only that, but for those of you who haven't been watching it, apparently I never watched the first episode of this, because there was a solar eclipse when everybody discovered they had powers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this episode, the past two episodes, there was a solar eclipse and it took away their powers, and the entire time everybody's like, I wonder what took away our powers.
Yeah.
I feel like if that was me, I'd be like, the solar eclipse took away my powers.
Yeah.
I would know that immediately.
And then Nathan and Peter Petrelli are in Haiti, meeting the Haitian. There are many Haitians there. They're finding the one character named the Haitian. They're like, we have to find the Haitian. And then over this episode, they fight the Haitian's brother. The Haitian kills him. And then they're like, thank you. Let's get back out of here. They're like, why do we come to Haiti?
You forgot to mention that they were also captured and thrown in a cartoon prison.
Yeah, that's true.
And you also forgot.
He was in these chains hanging from the ceiling.
You also forgot to mention that when they got to Haiti, they were like, we're looking for the Haitian.
Yeah.
And they actually knew who we were talking about. They weren't just pointing to them. We're all Haitians. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, but he's the Haitian.
No. We're looking for the Haitian.
Also, just to mention the beginning of the episode, you have horn-rimmed glasses guy finally decides, okay, now that Siler doesn't have powers, I'm going to kill him. So he takes a high-powered rifle with a scope and a laser pointery thing, and the end of last episode, he was all ready to shoot Siler, and Siler kisses L. Then the beginning of this episode, they had sex and are lying on the floor.
Well, you're gonna
have a whole conversation, and then he shoots and misses.
I've done some voyeuring.
He was tired.
He's tired. To be fair, it is hard to shoot with one hand.
Exactly.
Wow. So, point is, don't watch Hero. All right, that's it for the week. And now it's time for trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage!
Yeah. This is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We try to get a volunteer to win $25 free in the form of a gift card. Guy in the back. Didn't even wait for me to finish. That's what I like to see.
Yeah.
Come on down. How this is gonna work is if he gets all three of these trivia questions right, this Midtown gift card will be yours.
Wow.
So.
If I don't win, can somebody else have it? Because I don't feel very confident.
Have you ever seen this show?
Yeah. Trust me, you'll win. So how it's going to work is I'm going to read you the question, listen to all three possible answers.
Okay.
Oh, wait. What's your name?
Alden.
Alden, audience. Audience, Alden. Yeah. So today's tribute is on Batman R.I.P.
Okay.
In Batman R.I.P., which lady is not what she seems? Is it A, Poison Ivy, B, Jezebel Jett, or C, Mrs. Doubtfire?
Two answers possible here. Yeah.
So it's either A, Poison Ivy, she wasn't in it, or B, Jezebel Jett.
I'm going to go with B.
And you were nervous.
Wow.
All right, here we go. After reading Batman R.I.P., who is more crazy? A, Batman. B, Batman's dad, maybe. Or C, you, because Grant Morrison made you that
Boy. I'm going to say C.
He's correct! I would have taken any one of those.
Cool.
Now that Batman R.I.P. is over.
Thank God.
Are you going to A, want to see how DC explains itself? B, want to sue because no one freaking died, you can't call something R.I.P. Or C, you are happy because you like comics like these and you think to yourself, hey, you know what, I'm going to go back and read all the Final Crises.
Can I answer not C?
Yes, you will! Big winner, yours! Congratulations!
Thank you.
All right. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking for?
Thursday.
You're on autopilot.
This guy works in Midtown Comics. Yeah, so it's Thursday.
Yeah, because the Thanksgiving, that whole Turkey Day thing.
That was last week.
I know. Comic writers are lazy.
Yes, that takes a long time.
Don't say comic book writers are lazy.
No, it's hard to be a comic book writer.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so long. Yeah. I know.
Easy for you to sit on a comfy couch in your ivory tower and be like, you're lazy.
This is an ivory tower?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. You couldn't write something like Wolverine being created by a wolf god.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex.
All right, Thursday, Jeff, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's a huge reaction.
I'm going to go Wednesday anyway.
Because you're hardcore.
Because I like comics.
You know what else? You sold me on the new Hackslash.
Yeah. You are the biggest fan of that series.
Yeah. I sold you on a thing you already were going to buy and like.
Well, yes. That's how good of a salesman you are.
He can sell ice to Eskimos.
Hey, Pete, you should eat food 3 times a day.
Two times.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Exit Furnace, the new series about Ileana Rasputin.
You were like, are you going to say that? And I was like, yeah. And you're like, okay, cool.
I always go ahead of you, so I know what to say. And mapping it over to you, and I said, whatever you say, I'm going to say it first.
Great.
It looks like it's going to be a
I
great
I was going to say Creepy Archives Hardcover Volume 3.
Ooh, tricky. I'm not buying
it. do you want to talk about it?
Nope. it's going to be S.C.B. Cebulski. It's Ileana Rasputin comes back from hell, and she's got a wicked tail.
Marvel is having a big day tomorrow, along with X Infernus. You've got Secret Invasion number 8. But I'm most interested by X-Men Noir number 1. It's basically a no powers noir Sam Spade type novel take on the X-Men, and I don't know, I always like stuff like that, so it should be interesting to check out.
It'll be interesting, like, if there's no powers, then it's just like Cyclops just wears red glasses and Rogue has a white piece of hair. Like, what's the deal? Like, what happens?
So cool.
Yeah.
It's
Scott?
Just like us. I like Justice Society right now.
Nice.
Yes.
They're finally closing the arc out of One Nation Under Gog.
Yeah, I think the best fight scene I've read in a while was like maybe 3 or 4 issues ago when, was it Gog appears in their meeting room and they fight him out the window and out the street and everything.
Oh,
and
it's
the best paced thing I've ever read. I was really impressed.
Yes. That's Dale Eaglesham on art, is he?
Yes.
He's doing an amazing job on that title.
Yeah. And there are so many faces to get right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just the pacing of that scene really impressed me.
Yes.
You're giving me a lot of affirmation.
It's hard to watch the show with one end. Just that scene has kept me on the title looking for something. I'm chasing that dragon now, but I think it's really well told. It's getting a little bit stale now, just following Gog and
Magog.
And Magog. But following, it's a great story of this bad guy doing good.
Yeah.
And wondering is it good or bad. I think it's really well done.
Yeah, it's great.
For good.
And plug what you have going on.
Is that what you were asking me originally?
No.
All right, great. well, I got 30 Rock on Thursdays, and then I've got a show called Moral Oral.
Woo! These are your people.
Where have you been?
Yeah. Go to Nielsen boxes.
Buy some.
Like
Moral Oral has been canceled.
Oh.
And the reason is not the ratings, actually. It's just because it got too depressing.
What?
Adult Swim kind of hired us to write a silly, goofy, naughty little puppet show, and we did that for a while, and so that's when we pitched them, and it kind of evolved, and we got kind of involved with the characters, and it has become a drama. In fact, Amazon now lists our DVD in the drama section.
Wow!
And this season especially has become very dark and depressing and lonely. but the quality of the show is, like, just miles beyond the first 2 seasons, and I really enjoy it. We have one more episode left that'll wrap up the whole series that is on December 18th, and if you haven't seen it, find it on iTunes. You can find the first season and a half on DVD, and you can watch episodes on AdultSwim.com if you can find them. It's hard to navigate their site, though, unless you're a geek.
Oh.
new episodes might be on iTunes too, I'm not sure, but I suggest you watch the whole series, whether you buy it or not. I don't care, get a bootleg from your friends. It's worth watching, and it's certainly worth watching the 3rd season after you've watched the first 2, because it builds on the first 2 and makes them so much better, I think.
Cool.
So, Moral Oral.
Great.
That's it.
Check that out. You can also check us out pretty much every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub.
If you like these reviews, you can see the same ones on YouTube.
Yeah, it's pretty much with the same dialogue.
Yeah.
It's pretty fast.
Yep.
Cool. thanks, Scott, for being on the show. Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m., please tell your friends. Good night!
Thank you both! Oh, it was the church.